What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
The case that we have today was actually requested by one of our listeners. So shout out to you. Y este caso del que vamos a hablar hoy pasó en la comunidad de la persona que nos la recomendó y dijo que este caso aterrizó a su comunidad because they were scared and concerned for their safety.
This case happened in Los Angeles.
Y nosotras nunca habíamos escuchado de este caso.
And I mean, we're in Northern California, pero like, siento que no estamos tan lejos.
I mean, true, estamos todavía en el mismo estado.
Yeah. In this case, we talked about the possibility of a serial killer in LA. So I don't know. I feel like I'm really surprised that we never heard of it, you know?
Yeah. And it's also like fairly recent too. So it's not like something that happened like in the 70s or 80s, you know? So I was really surprised too to learn about these cases. And I think one of the reasons why we, like me and you, Steph, haven't heard about this is porque también no hemos visto este caso, you know, be covered anywhere. Like, I don't know. I feel like it should have been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you know of a case that needs to be talked about, like, please let us know. Our Twitter, our Instagram, they're always open because this is what we're here for, you know?
Mm-hmm. Y como siempre, antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up.
We will be talking about sensitive topics y queríamos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Now, let's jump in.
So today we will be talking about two cases, el caso de Michelle Lozano y el caso de Brianna Guzman.
Primero vamos a hablar de Michelle, que desapareció en abril 2011, y luego vamos a hablar de Brianna. Ella desapareció en diciembre 2011, so en el mismo año, y toda la comunidad estaba preocupada because they thought that there was a serial killer in the neighborhood.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty alarming, like two back to back. So, como dijimos, primero vamos a hablar sobre Michelle Lozano because she went missing first. Michelle, de 17 años, estaba viviendo en Lincoln Heights con su familia. She was just, you know, your average 17-year-old. So, she was in high school and, you know, you're at the age where you're becoming an adult. You're starting to figure out what you want after high school.
Yeah, so much to look forward to.
Yeah.
Michelle was enjoying her weekend and it was actually Easter Day. April 24th, 2011, and out of nowhere, she just disappeared on a walk to a nearby store. La última vez que alguien la vio fue enfrente de Lincoln High School around 4 p.m.
Yeah, Michelle desapareció y nadie vio nada. Y no había videos de seguridad either, so it was even harder to like get any clues. No había testigos. También no sabemos cuándo la reportaron desaparecida y tampoco sabemos si las autoridades hicieron algo para encontrarla, porque todo pasó muy rápido.
Yeah, it happened super fast because one day later, after her disappearance, now April 25th, 2011, a homeless person called the police after they found a dead body. Las autoridades llegaron a donde la persona dijo que había un cuerpo, and they were right away able to identify the person as Michelle Lozano.
Y por eso es que siempre decimos like que cada minuto cuenta, because like she was found just a day after her disappearance, you know?
Yeah, you know, time is precious.
Mm-hmm.
And her body was found nude and wrapped in plastic bags in a broken container. The container was dumped near Cesar Chavez Avenue in Boyle Heights, off-ramp from southbound 5 Freeway in East Los Angeles.
They believe que el contenedor fue aventado sobre una barrera, y cuando cayó se rompió, y así es que el cuerpo de Michelle se salió un poco.
Cuando hicieron la autopsia, descubrieron que she was strangled to death. They also discovered that she was sexually assaulted. So, de la autopsia, nomás pudieron, you know, obtener una pista. They were able to recover DNA from her body that did not belong to her.
Pero, now that they had the DNA, no sabían de quién era. And no estaba en ningún sistema, so they kind of were, like, at a dead end. Like, yeah, we have this DNA that would link us to the person, but, like, how do we even begin to find this person with no security videos, no witnesses? Like, it was just kind of like a dead end, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating because you have the DNA.
Right? But it's, like, all these people, like, how...
And so, yeah, like, they had the DNA, but there were no updates on this case for a while until another girl went missing from the same area.
The other girl that went missing was Brianna Guzman, who was also known as Brie, and she was also born and raised in Lincoln Heights. Y ella también era una mamá de dos niñas, tenía una niña de 5 años y la otra de 16 meses, just a baby. Y ella estaba viviendo con su mamá, Darlene Guzman, y sus dos hijas.
Brianna le gustaba cocinar, she loved to bake, she had dreams of becoming a pastry chef. And she would even bake for her neighbors and friends. Ella era muy querida por toda su familia y amigos.
Brianna también era muy joven como Michelle. Ella tenía 22 años when she went missing, just kind of like around our age. Y ella desapareció el día después de Navidad en el año 2011. Ese día, she left her house and was walking along 73,000 block of Humboldt Street to Rite Aid. Nomás tenía $5, you know, it was just supposed to be a quick little errand. I imagine it's kind of like, oh, I need this, let me just quickly go to, like, the corner store and get what I need, you know?
Yeah, she only needed cough drops, so yeah, really quick errand. And so her last sighting was around 7:55 p.m. Ella no llegó a su casa esa noche y su familia estaba bien preocupada. And it wasn't until the next day que fueron a reportarla desaparecida.
I love how the family was advocating right away. Y ellos no creían que Brianna fuera capaz de irse voluntariamente. Like, they knew something was wrong. And thankfully, the Los Angeles Police Department classified the case as a missing person case right away.
Yeah, and as we kept researching, we learned a little bit more about Brianna. She was kind of involved in a love triangle. She already had this planned out. I think she was just kind of waiting to do it. Ella iba a romper con su novio porque él estaba viendo a otra mujer.
Yeah, she wasn't okay with that, which I totally feel like I get her. And didn't want to be part of that love triangle.
Mm-hmm. And so on the day she disappeared, she was going to get cough drops, like just cough drops, a really quick errand. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like contradicting stories here. Like some articles say that her boyfriend was going to pick her up, or like maybe both of them were going together to get the cough drops. Mm-hmm. But most kind of infer that she was going alone. Pero no se sabe si ella y su novio cancelaron planes and, you know, she ended up going alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of, you know, unsure. Porque el novio dijo que él no la había visto en los últimos 3 días antes de su desaparición.
And that actually did check out. The boyfriend was cleared. He didn't meet up with Brianna. So he never was, like, a suspect of interest. And so el caso no agarró tanta atención. It was just, you know, sadly to say, but it was just another case. And it didn't get attraction until later. And that was until the body was found.
A body was found in January of 2012, 1 month later since Brianna disappeared. This body was found near Riverside Drive on ramp to southbound Glendale Freeway in Silver Lake area.
These remains were listed as a Jane Doe, and as we know, that's the name that an unidentified body goes as. Y por las condiciones en cómo encontraron el cuerpo, like, no se podía saber luego que era Brianna. And they took a while to do an autopsy, and there was a security hold placed on this as well. They wanted privacy for this matter and also holding of information porque la comunidad quería respuestas. And, you know, this was just so close to Michelle's case, they probably... You know, I don't know.
Like, we're eager to know.
Yeah.
Y la familia de Brianna pensaba que el cuerpo era Brianna. Like, I felt like they just kind of knew it.
Mm-hmm, like that gut feeling.
Mm-hmm, and they were just waiting for the authorities to confirm it. And they did confirm it afterwards.
Yeah, she was found partially clothed, and the autopsy revealed that she had been strangled to death.
So, Michelle desapareció en abril 2011 y Brianna desapareció el mismo año en diciembre 2011. So, these crimes happened kind of less than 10 months apart.
Yeah, super, super close to each other. Y las muchachas no se conocían, though, so that's important to note. Both girls went to the same high school, but not at the same time, because even though they were, like, similar in age, right, Brianna was still older than Michelle by 5 years. Yeah, right, so that's enough to, like, not be in the same group. But still, you know, they're from the same place, the same community.
Michelle was abducted from Lincoln High School in Lincoln Heights. And Brianna was also reported missing from Lincoln Heights area. So, yeah, same community, yeah. Same people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And there's also more similarities because both women were raped, killed, and their bodies were dumped along freeways.
El público estaba muy preocupado, and they thought that these cases were connected. But the police played it down, maybe to keep the community under control or, you know, to prevent chaos.
Yeah, because I feel like, I don't know, if you start, like, letting them know, like, imagine how much panic is going to go through it. But, I mean, at the same time, like, people should be aware, you know? But many people in Lincoln Heights believe that there was a serial killer on the loose. But la policía había dicho que no, pero, you know, todavía la comunidad estaba en alerta, you know, and a lot of, like, I guess rumors, you can say, right, started, like, picking up.
I'm going to read something that the LAPD posted on Facebook to kind of, like, make the community feel like they have everything under control or, like, that there isn't a serial killer on the loose. So this is what they said. In the past couple of days, we've been made aware that there is a fair amount of speculation brewing about a possible serial killer in the Northeast and Holland Beck areas due to the discovery of the victim. At this point, it's simply much too early to see patterns suggesting that type of behavior. Rest assured that the LAPD has its top-notch robbery homicide detectives working on the case, and they are exploring all possibilities. While it's important that we don't jump to conclusions, it's also good for us to be alert in general.
And quickly, I'm just gonna translate that to Spanish. Entonces, ellos publicaron en Facebook estas palabras. En los últimos días, nos hemos enterado de que se está gestando una buena cantidad de especulaciones sobre un posible asesino en las áreas del Northeast and Holland Beck. A este punto es demasiado pronto para ver patrones que siguen ese tipo de comportamiento. Tengo la seguridad de que la LAPD tiene detectives de robos y homicidios de primera categoría trabajando en el caso y están explorando todas las posibilidades. Mientras que no queramos que ustedes brinquen a conclusiones, también es bueno de que nosotros estemos en alerta en general. And I feel like there had to be, like, a lot of speculation in order for, like, the LAPD to post this on Facebook. And, like, I was thinking, like, okay, so clearly people in the area were really concerned. So, again, why wasn't these two cases talked about?
Yeah, I feel like maybe this, I don't know, it should have been on national news,
right?
I feel like.
Right, yeah.
Porque es un caso en Los Ángeles, and Los Ángeles is a really big place.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I feel like this case really did deserve more attention.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah, for sure. Y la comunidad de Lincoln Heights estaba muy asustada. Y luego también más porque había muchos rumores. No sabemos si esto fue cierto, pero sí leímos esto en un artículo de the LAPD online. Dice que la comunidad estaba preocupada porque había varios hombres en una van blanca que andaban secuestrando mujeres jóvenes de la calle. Y la comunidad pensaba que esta vez podía estar conectada con la muerte de Melissa Lozano y Brianna Guzmán.
Creo que la comunidad tenía muchas razones por qué estar preocupados.
Uh-huh.
Fueron dos asesinatos en la misma comunidad en el mismo año. Y you know, yo creo que también sentían que las autoridades no estaban haciendo suficiente o no les creían que, you know, estaban preocupados. And it's in the same community y las dos muchachas murieron en una forma muy similar. So, and then con, también con esta Vin in the neighborhood being super suspicious, you know, like, how are you not going to be so worried?
Yeah.
I feel like it for sure, like, shook a whole entire community.
No, yeah, definitely. And I feel like, even because, again, like, we don't know if this was true or not, but, like, even if it, like, I don't know, I just feel like just hearing those words or that scenario, of course you're going to be, like, frantic, you know, and, like, yeah.
And they really did believe that Michelle's case and Brianna's case were connected. And it wasn't until 2014 that Los Investigadores announced that both cases were linked with forensic evidence. En las dos escenas de los crímenes encontraron ADN. And so when they, you know, tried to match it, it was 100% a match. So that's how they knew that, you know, they were possibly just looking for one person.
That must have been, like, a big, like, oh, my God moment. You know, like, the fact that la ADN was a match to both of these. Like, that instantly, boom, connects them together.
I think, and I think also the community was worried all along, and they were right. Yeah. And, like, now it's confirmed. So even...
that there's someone out there.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like that makes them even more worried. Because, you know, this is pretty intense. It's one person.
And, I mean, it's, like, a serial killer. Basically, like, how many more is he targeting? Who is he? You know, I don't
Who's next?
Yeah, exactly. Y en el 2014 ofrecieron dos recompensas de $50,000. Just, you know, in hopes that someone would talk, que alguien dijera si vio algo, si sabe algo, you know, just anything, porque no había mucha información. No había videos de seguridad, ninguna descripción de la persona culpable. Nomás tenían un ADN desconocido, which I think it's so ironic because, like, usually that's what you aim for, like, to grab a piece of DNA or, like, something. And now, here they have it, but you don't know whose it is. Y porque el ADN del culpable no estaba en el California database, nor the national database, again, that's why it was just kind of like, just there.
Yeah, so who is this person? I feel like they're under the radar.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't know if this person is doing the same thing again and again without getting caught.
That's scary. That's really scary to think about,
Like, it's, there's so many unknowns. Y pues así quedó por mucho tiempo. The community remained afraid. You know, they didn't feel safe, and they thought that this killer could strike again at any moment.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, I don't know if it's appropriate to say, but, like, as I say, like, the Zodiac killer was, like, purposely terrorizing the community, but, like, this one was all, like, even though, like, obviously that wasn't his aim because, you know, it's, like, completely different, but, like, he was just doing the same.
Yeah, I think it's scary because, like, the community doesn't know exactly what kind of killer this is. Is it someone trying to play games with the police, or I mean, I think a killer in general, it's kind of scary. Whatever like is going on in their mind, if they're doing it to scare people and get a thrill out of that, or, like, just killing, I don't know, whatever they're, you know, it's just scary.
No, yeah, for sure. Doesn't matter what kind of, like, level they're on, like,
So, 6 years later, so 6 years of, like, being scared, you know, imagine, and no answers.
Yeah.
6 years later, there's a break in the case.
Investigators went through exhaustive protocols set up by the state attorney general's office to request a familial search porque la ADN del culpable no estaba en el sistema. Y ellos querían ver si alguien con ADN similar si estaba en el sistema. You know, just trying to find any connections and hoping to, like, narrow down their search. Or even, like, begin their search, you know?
So they were able to request a familial DNA search. And this is something really difficult to do, and also some would say controversial, porque las autoridades no siempre hacen esta prueba. And, like, just to, like, kind of, like, put it in perspective, in 2017, this case, the one we're talking about, was the second one in which they relied on familial DNA. So just to kind of give it, you know, perspective that they don't do this a lot.
And honestly, I don't understand why they don't do this on every case. I mean, like, Sí sabemos que esta forma de investigar puede enfocarse en la gente equivocada, right? Because you're just like kind of like looking at like the family tree, you know, y puede haber mucha gente inocente, but like, I don't know. I think like if they try investigating with respecting someone's space, then I feel like there's no harm being done, you know?
Exactamente. I feel like el que nada debe, nada teme.
Mm-hmm.
But there are conversations that by doing this, authorities are violating our Fourth Amendment privacy protections against unreasonable searches and seizures on innocent family members.
La razón por qué en veces gente no está de acuerdo con ese tipo de investigación es porque puede violar las protecciones de privacidad de la Cuarta Enmienda contra registros irrazonables en miembros inocentes de la familia.
I understand why it could be controversial, porque pueden estar, you know, investigando la gente equivocada.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how the police enforcement sometimes takes advantage of their power.
Very true.
So I feel like they could definitely overstep this and actually violate our Fourth Amendment.
No, yeah, for sure. I feel like it's just like with most cases, like there just has to be a balance.
Yeah.
Like when done correctly, I feel like it can happen, but because of the whole like aspect of power, it becomes corrupt.
Yeah, porque con esto se puede resolver muchos casos.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know. I was like thinking of like JonBenet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the big mystery of JonBenet.
Yeah, the Zodiac Killer. There's also DNA in there. Like,
right? It's right. I don't know, but who are we to say? Yeah, that's just our opinion. And so when they ran the test, sí salió un match, but it wasn't like the perfect 100% match. The search identified an individual and he was in the database because of a crime history. But it was a non-sexual assault type of crime and it had been early in his life.
Yeah, I think it had to do something with domestic violence. So that made him pop up in the state's crime database. But like we said, it wasn't a match. It was just, you know, a close match.
Mm-hmm.
It was close enough. It was like, you know, under the family tree.
Yeah. Y entonces luego la atención shifted over to this individual's son, who is named Giovanni Vargas. But they couldn't just arrest him because, like, I mean, again, it goes back to, like, the whole of idea of how controversial this type of search is. Y, like, no tenían evidencia. Like, that was their only linkage. And so, you know, like, if the police were to, like, go up to him and, like, wanting to search him and all this stuff, like, that is violating a person's Fourth Amendment. So that's why it goes, you know, back to the whole controversial idea. He, you know, on top of that, like, police didn't have his DNA and they didn't have a way to get his DNA. So lo que hicieron fue que lo siguieron a escondidas, like, sin que él supiera, and just kind of, like, kept him under the radar.
Y durante esto, Giovanni spat on the sidewalk y los detectives colectaron eso y con eso pudieron mandarlo para análisis. Y ya que volvieron los análisis, pudieron comprobar sus sospechas. La ADN en los dos crímenes era un match con Giovanni's DNA that they picked up from the sidewalk.
First of all, what were the odds that he was going to spit then and there?
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, like, se me hace, like, bien inteligente de que ellos pensaron rápidamente, like, boom, there's this free DNA. Like, let's just go run the sample.
Yeah.
And then, boom, you have your guy.
Mm-hmm.
No lo habían podido encontrar antes porque Giovanni tenía un record limpio. Entonces, that's why he didn't come up in the database. Pero sí tenía un parking ticket, but, like, that was about it. So, like, without them having done this, they would have had, like, no clue of who Giovanni Vargas was.
Yeah, and más tiempo iba a pasar.
Yeah.
And no se sabía si, if he would ever do this again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So again, Michelle y Brianna no se conocían. There was no connection between them besides them living in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Pero las dos cruzaron caminos con Giovanni. Giovanni trabajaba en una farmacia local y ellas dos iban seguido.
He did previously live in Lincoln Heights neighborhood, so that's the only possible reason why they crossed paths with Giovanni.
Giovanni Vargas, of 32 years old, was arrested in su casa in Torrance on May 25th, 2017, and he was held without bail por la seguridad del público.
His attorney tried fighting, saying that Giovanni was a father and a full-time worker, and therefore he was, quote-unquote, flight risk is low. So that means, like, ellos no creían que él se, you know, was going to flee, no se iba a ir y correr de las autoridades. And I don't know, like, I personally, like, this was 6 years later, so I'm just like, what did he do in that six-year gap?
Yeah.
You know, like, nothing has been reported, but, like, in 2014, his ex-girlfriend did file a domestic violence restraining order against him. So I feel like that also says a lot about, like, you know, his type of person. Y ella dijo que Giovanni le había quebrado la nariz. He choked her and pushed her down the stairs.
Aside from that, there was nothing else, you know, reported in that six-year gap. You know, nothing that we know of, nothing mm-hmm. that's been reported. So in the Michelle and Brianna case, he was charged with 2 counts of murder and foreseeable rape and 1 count of kidnapping.
Charges include the special circumstance allegations of multiple murders and murder during commission of rape and a kidnapping.
And with this charge, it makes Giovanni eligible for the death penalty. But we'll go into that because this was said in 2017 and some things, you know, are changing. Mm-hmm. Now we're in 2021. The newly elected district attorney, George Gascon, and his office are not seeking the death penalty. So they're like kind of, I think they're kind of taking away that special circumstance allegations.
Mm, and I feel like everyone has different views about the death penalty, but in este caso, Brianna's mother and loved ones are angry, and her mother wants the maximum penalty that Giovanni can get.
She's urging voters to recall the newly elected district attorney, George Gascon.
And that's pretty much it. That's where the case is at currently. You know, we are glad that the family found the answers and found the person that was responsible for both of these deaths.
Yeah, it brought answers to the family and also a la comunidad que estuvo espantada por muchos años. I feel like todos ahorita ya a lo mejor se sienten un poco más calmados. And
sabiendo que él no está.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so this again was a request by one of you all. And we truly appreciate it. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us. We honestly didn't know. But now we're here and we're glad that we could share Michelle and Brianna's story. Y gracias por escuchar. Again, if you have a request that you like for us to do, whether it's a case in your community or just a case that, you know, you think people might want to know about, then feel free to, like, reach out and let us know on our Instagram, which is just at Cuento Crimen Podcast, or on our Twitter, which is just Cuento Crimen. And we now do have a Facebook page, too. So if you're more familiar with Facebook, you can just search us up as Cuento Crimen Podcast. We should be there. And, yeah, our DMs are always open. So, yeah, gracias por escuchar, and we will see y'all next week.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.